Well, it's time now for a look through today's newspapers, and I'm joined on set by Deeptika Laurent. Deepti, you're starting with reactions to one of our top stories. That's Donald Trump's big, beautiful bill, which he is set to sign later this Friday.
Yeah, this Friday, 4th of July, U.S. Independence Day as well. He's set to sign that big, beautiful bill into law, and it's garnering a lot of attention in the press, in the American press today. A bill that will cut major welfare programs and add trillions of dollars to national debt. Washington Post in this article calling it one of the most consequential and expensive economic legacies in modern American presidential history. And it's clear what this cartoonist thinks of the bill, that $3 trillion deficit increase, the cherry on what is what he sees a bill as a steaming pile of poop. You also have this article from the Wall Street Journal today, which kind of takes us behind the scenes of how he got it done. There was a lot of negotiating, and Trump also had to use his executive authority to make deals to avoid the bill heading back to the Senate. He didn't want to make any compromises, which would mean the bill would head back to the Senate and delay the signing. Notably, he agreed to explore new tariffs on parts used in wind turbines. This was to placate certain conservative Republicans who were unhappy that the bill didn't impose greater limits on renewable energies, for instance. The Wall Street Journal noting that his, quote, vague promises and cajoling paid off with the House passing the bill on Thursday. It also underscores his iron grip on the Republican Party.
Yeah, did you tell us more about what we've been hearing from the conservative papers this morning?
Well, you have two articles, notably. This is the Washington Times, which says that this passage of sweeping tax cut legislation caps a summer of victories for Donald Trump. So it's largely seen as a victory for him. The National Review, a conservative magazine, is a little bit more reticent in its editorial today. It calls it, nonetheless, a significant conservative policy win that will make permanent the meat of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017. That was the first bill that was passed during Donald Trump's first term. The National Review also celebrating a provision that will defund Planned Parenthood from Medicare, but it laments that it's only paired back to just a one-year restriction. But it notes, however, that the failure to get spending under control will come back to haunt any Republican who wants to be remembered for helping bring U.S. debt under control.
Interesting. Even the very conservative papers, it seems, then, a little hesitant about that bill. Moving on to another topic, Deepti, that's getting a lot of coverage in the press. Russia has acknowledged the Taliban as the official government of Afghanistan.
Yeah, and doing so, Russia has become the first country to do so, to recognize Afghanistan's Taliban government. In this article from the New York Times, of course, it comes almost four years since the group seized control of Afghanistan. The Russia's recognition is a, quote, significant victory for the Taliban, the New York Times says, reminding us that their draconian measures on women's rights have made the country a pariah state. The Taliban did move to eradicate, for instance, its opium production in a bid to entice foreign partners, but its refusal to budge on improving women's rights in the country means that it has largely stayed a diplomatic pariah for the past 4 years. Last year, China and India appeared to soften towards the country, but Russia's recognition of the group as the government of Afghanistan is a major victory, a major step forward for the Taliban on the international stage, Alison.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if other countries follow suit. Deepti, moving on to some sports news. The football world has been mourning the death of Diogo Jota, a Portuguese player and a former forward for Liverpool.
Yeah, it's getting a lot of attention in the sports papers today, Alison. The 28-year-old and his brother, Andre Silva, were heading back to Liverpool for Liverpool's pre-season training when the Lamborghini they were traveling in crashed, veered off the road in Santander, Spain. It's here on the front page of Abola, a Portuguese sports paper. Very sober front page there with a picture of the two brothers their date of birth, as you can see there, and the slogan here, "You'll never walk alone." This, of course, the slogan of Liverpool FC, the club for which Diogo Jota was playing. In Liverpool, this is the front page of the Liverpool Echo, "Forever our number 20," in reference to the number on his jersey. The Guardian, a lot of the general sort of newspapers as well are focusing on this. Here, the Guardian tributes after Liverpool star dies in a car crash. It says the pair died in a car crash, as I said, while driving back to Santander to catch a ferry back to England because Diogo Jota had just been operated on and doctors had advised him against flying, which is the reason he was driving. He had just gotten married. He was a father of three. It's really terrible news and one that will send shockwaves through the football world for some time to come.
Yeah, so young too, 28 years old. Finally from UDPD, a new study has shown wild orcas appearing to present humans with gifts of food, except it's unclear if it's actually a gift or if they're just trying to manipulate
us. Yeah, that's right. A study has reported, this is in the Times of London today, study has reported 34 examples of this kind of behavior in six different orca populations from Norway to New Zealand. And the Times of London today explaining that the orcas approach people who are in boats, even on the shorelines, sometimes swimming, and brought them bits of whale, fish, birds, seaweed, even a turtle in one instance. They usually hovered around to and waited to see what would happen. In a few cases, the humans did pick up the food, inspect it, and then politely toss it back. The whales then retrieving and returning the gift. The results published in a psychology journal offer some theories about what this kind of behavior could mean. Perhaps that the orcas were extending a flipper of friendship and nothing more, or a darker, more Machiavellian explanation, an attempt to attract a species of prey, in this case us, and kill us, but not eat us necessarily. Anyway, with the word killer in their name, you could be forgiven for being a little bit suspicious about these gifts, Alison.
That's right. I'm from the Pacific Northwest, so we love orcas there, but they're sneaky. They're sneaky, sneaky whales. Deepti, thank you so much.